Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
John, take it away.
Welcome to Mr. Curiosity.
He's our official spokesperson.
Joe wasn't with us for the last podcast, so it's nice to have you back from Florida.
Yeah, and we have all new questions thanks to you, the viewer, so keep them coming. Brownbag@WNEP.com. Brownbag@WNEP.com. Remember, if this stinks, it's because of you.
Okay, oh, yeah, we're only to blame.
Yeah, we are only as good as the questions we get, and we'll do our best answering them. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we can only do as good as those questions are.
Yeah, and I want to admit to everyone, listen, I'm cranky, okay? I'm sick of the cold. I've been outside since 4:30.
Cranky.
Well, I'm cranky.
You've been outside all morning.
I'm cranky.
Yeah. Yes. So he's about ready to hike south to Florida, although it's cold there, too.
I'm going to be cantankerous during this little brown bag segment. All right, so who's going
to
go first?
People are winter cranky, though.
Yeah. Winter, it's a thing?
It is definitely.
Yeah, people have cabin fever.
Cabin fever, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you want to go first? Because
you were gone last year. That's a good suggestion.
I don't know.
Not very often.
Why not get the crankiness out right now?
Yeah, right away.
All right, so remember, these are not previewed.
I know.
Send them in, and we never know what we're going to get. This is from Mike Malik. He said, what's the most misunderstood concept about weather that you wish everyone knew?
Ooh. That could get you cranky.
Mike from Hanover Township. Mike, there's so much. And remember, I teach meteorology at the University, Marywood. It's such a complex, detailed science. It really is. And I wish people knew. Even when we're wrong, it takes a lot to get wrong. And it's not that we're at the whim of computer models, but there's no way to project into the future beyond hours, into days, without the help of these computer models. And they're just simulations of the atmosphere. But we read the blueprints of these models and then make forecasts. But it's not just highs and lows and cute little fronts and sunshiny icons on the weather maps. It's a real detailed science, and we do our best. But I wish people just understood what goes into it. Even when we're wrong, it takes a lot that goes into it to make a wrong forecast. It's very random and chaotic.
So Joe works really hard.
Do you think now that because the science has become more advanced, the expectation of the people has become so much higher? That you can give them the exact number they're going to get in their forecast, you know, for snow in their backyard.
I think they want that, yeah, an exact timing. And even in the summer, when we say scattered showers and thunderstorms, that's just it. There's not a one model in the world or forecaster who can say it's going to rain in Nanticoke at 2 p.m. It's just the nature of the chaos. It's like looking down at a pot of boiling water and trying to guess where a bubble is going to rise up. We know the bubbles are going to be there, and there's going to be convection, but you can't say it's going to be in the top portion of the pot in 3 minutes and then in the lower portion. It's a chaotic system, and it'll never be wholly understood. That's the truth of it. And that is the science of meteorology. I think that's why I love it, because of the chaos.
Me too, but I'm just a wannabe meteorologist.
He's a wannabe.
Just a wannabe.
People have to realize, just in the 1940s, not that long ago, the jet stream wasn't even known. It wasn't well
understood.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a new thing. Newton had laws. We didn't have satellites. There was calculus hundreds of years ago in Newtonian physics, but yet just 70, 80 years ago, we didn't even know there was a jet stream. And now that's the main driver of all meteorology. This is new, chaotic, wonderful science.
Pretty cool.
Love it.
Nikki, I think it's your turn.
That wasn't too cranky, right?
No, that wasn't cranky at all. I think Mike brought you.
You know what, Mike? He brought me back.
He brought you back. You got to talk about something you're passionate about.
He made you happy again.
I forgot I was cranky. What was I cranky about?
We don't even remember.
I was hoping for cranky, but it didn't happen.
That's over with.
It'll come.
Chris says, do you have a favorite character from the Looney Tunes cartoon?
Oh. That's an interesting question.
That is a good question.
I was always partial to Sylvester the cat for some reason.
Yeah, I like Sylvester.
Why do you think? Why?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Because I'm not a cat person.
You would think you would like Tweety Bird.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always liked Sylvester.
You like Sylvester?
Yeah.
Could you do an impersonation? Or
I don't even remember if he made sounds.
I thought I saw a putty tat.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, no. That was the Tweety Bird.
That was a good impression.
But wasn't Tweety with Sylvester, right?
Yeah, always with Sylvester. Yeah, they were all like always fighting. Yeah. And Sylvester was always eating Tweety.
Yeah. I don't even know all the Looney Tunes. Is that like Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck and all those?
Okay. Yosemite Sam.
Okay.
Porky Pig.
Yeah, you're right. There's
I
so many.
The Roadrunner and the Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love the Tasmanian Devil.
I think that was my favorite one of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Porky? You like Porky? Porky the Pig?
I like Porky Pig.
I like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bugs Bunny is the one that always is, you know.
They all had attitude.
Were Tom and Jerry part of that, or were they their own? They were their own thing, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I love Tom and Jerry, too.
Was Daffy Duck, or was he a Disney
No, guy? Daffy Duck was one of them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It seems like most of them were then, the Looney Tunes. But you go back to the 40s and 50s when they were made, and they all had such character and attitudes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't have that anymore, I think. Because I think we're a little more politically correct with these cartoons.
They probably a lot.
Yeah. And remember, they were only on certain times. You only got cartoons when they were on.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't watch YouTube.
They were on demand.
Yeah.
All right.
John's not cranky. Well, he hides his crankiness.
He has
that power. He puts on a brave face.
Is there a TV show you watch that people would be surprised you watch?
Ooh.
I guess the surprised is the interesting part, John.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if you...
You do watch the Hallmark Channel sometimes.
No, I actually don't. It's
really?
Fun, and then I make fun of it if I watch it.
You said your wife makes you watch it, right? You
don't. No,
you
would never go. She doesn't like to watch it with me because I make fun.
Oh, okay.
So you would never go.
So if I walk in and make fun, then she's annoyed at that.
Yeah.
I have to be honest right now. I don't watch much TV at all. Yeah. I'm just not in a phase of watching programs at all.
But if there were something where people...
Maybe you'd be surprised. I do like those HGTV shows. Like
Fixing things up
and, you know, the which house would you choose of, like, the three different houses and those kind of things. That'd probably be one that maybe people wouldn't expect.
Mindy, what do you got? Something that people would be like, what? She watches that?
I don't know. One of my favorite shows is on the History Channel, Alone. I don't know if people would think that's weird that I watch that. It's where these 10 people are just set somewhere in the wilderness and they're all by themselves and they have to videotape themselves and then they make a show out of it and they try to see who can last the longest. I love that one.
That seems like you.
Does it? I don't know.
That seems like you. Nikki, do you have anything?
Oh, my guilty pleasure is 1,000-Pound Sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so good.
I don't even know what that is.
Don't knock until you've watched it.
Let's pause for a second. There's actually a show?
Yeah, wait.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Are they
so
both 1,000 pounds?
Give us the premise.
No. So, well, now one of them is like 180 pounds.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Wait, they were give us the whole premise. These were two very overweight women.
One was 6-something and one was 4-something. So they equal 1,000 pounds.
And
so
then what, they document their life and go through a diet?
Well, they had weight loss surgery over the seasons. Now they're on the 8th season.
No way.
But the whole family, there's 5 siblings.
Wow.
And now the whole family and one of the significant others has had weight loss surgery.
Wow.
So how big are they now, these two wonderful women?
I think Tammy's like 180 pounds now.
What?
She was the big one. She was like 6-something, and now she's – and she just had skin removal surgery.
Skin removal.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
Oh, my goodness.
But they
I can't
fight.
Even imagine like what
–
Oh, really?
They fight.
They fight, so that's good TV. Where
it's
do we get
TV.
This thing? Where do we find
TLC.
This? TLC.
Okay. All right.
TLC has a lot of those.
Yes.
Is that what Hoarders is on?
Probably.
Oh, I have watched Hoarders, and sometimes I get sucked into that.
Hoarders is something to watch.
Oh, and back in the day, so now you've triggered me. Back in the day, did you guys ever watch Cheaters? That was one of the first great reality shows.
Cheating
on your spouse, like they would find the person and stuff. At the end, the spouse would find where they were with their extramarital affair, and they would go confront them with the camera on.
See, I would not like that.
Yeah,
no,
it was bad.
No.
It was really bad.
I like reality. I like trashy reality TV.
Every time I watch Hoarders, I have to throw things out right after.
So do I.
I have to get rid of things.
Would you guys be surprised if you heard that I watched at least one episode a day, reruns of The Gong Show from the 1970s?
And
that's not a surprise.
Do?
Yeah, I still do.
Interesting.
I love it.
I think it's the greatest show
ever been made. Yes.
Oh,
they're all on YouTube. I love it.
Interesting.
Yep. I love The Gong
Show. That's a surprise.
And didn't you?
I mean,
yeah,
it's not
that
a surprise
is a surprise.
You like the show, but it's that you still watch it.
Yep.
Didn't you used to watch some show with the like pregnant teenagers and stuff like that?
I used to watch that with my daughter because when she was 11, 12, 13, I think that's a natural draw. What was that one called?
16 and Pregnant.
Maybe.
Teen Moms.
Teen Mom.
So I would watch it with her just so she wouldn't feel like she has to hide watch it. Uh-huh. I didn't enjoy it, to be honest with you, but
I love that you watched Teen Mom.
I wanted to watch it with her to support her. That's it. So when she was a little girl, I used to watch that with her, but I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I thought that would take the edge and the mystery out of it. Like, I have to do this when my parents aren't there. I want to do it with them.
Yeah.
Aww.
No, I thought it was terrible.
Good. If I do that with my kids now, like if they're watching some of these YouTube videos, I'm just like, what are you doing? What is this? I don't think there's entertainment value in it. I think it's like our parents used to say that watching too much TV would turn our brains to mush.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these videos that they're watching on YouTube, I think literally is turning their brains to mush. Maybe I'm just talking like my parents used to. But there's no plot. It's short attention span theater.
Right.
There's just nothing there. And they just get sucked into watching these videos.
Yeah. Or swiping through TikTok or, yeah.
And John and I admit guilty. It's not a guilty pleasure. I don't know what it is, but we love war stuff. It's a lot of guys.
If I have a choice of what to stream, I love some.
I love war stuff.
War history kind
of
thing.
Yeah. And I don't know. Why do we like that?
I don't know. Fascinating.
Oh, this is a good question. And it's Rick from North Carolina.
See, they're watching on
streaming, I assume. That's awesome. All right. He says, good morning. I was wondering how you fit in time to do the extra segments like on the Pennsylvania Road. Is it done outside of normal working hours, in your spare time, especially having the early morning shift? Thank you all. So that's a really good question, Rick. And let me tell you, it's not easy for John Meyer. And you do Wham Cam.
This is for the two hardest guys in show business.
Yeah, hardest working guys in show business.
You two girls don't have to do extra stuff. Come on, maybe you should.
Well, I do a lot of extra things,
fundraising
I do.
I will say it's a challenge.
It is.
Yeah.
It is definitely a challenge, especially now that we do 4.5 hours of live news.
We start at 4:30 and we do this
to 9.
Till
9. We're on TV nonstop for 4.5 hours. So then I go out and shoot on the Pennsylvania Road. Usually I try to do it on a Tuesday. I go out. It runs on Wednesday. And I still love doing the segment because it's great, but the beauty of On the Pennsylvania Road is that getting out into the extremities of our viewing area, and it is a little hard to drive to, say, Sunbury or Towanda or one of those places after being on TV for 4.5 hours and after being at work since 3.
Yeah.
Turns into a really long day. I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You but should complain.
There's a challenge there to it that's grown since I took doing On the Pennsylvania Road. When Mike Stevens did it, that was his job, and he went out and did it. That was all that he did. The reality of TV, and actually lots of people's jobs now, just not just us, you're asked to do more. Mm-hmm. And so I figure out ways to do it, and it's working.
But this ties into the other part of that question, which isn't even in the question. What do we do for an 8-hour shift? A lot of people think when we're on the air, that's it, and then TV's off. And what are you doing when you're not on the Pennsylvania Road?
Well, if I'm not there, well, I have to write it then another day. But then I think we're all looking at what we can do for the next day's show and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of prep that goes in it. Because remember now, if we're on TV for 4.5 hours, the first part of our shift is only getting ready for that newscast.
Mm-hmm.
We're done at 9. We only have 2 more hours left of our shift. I will say personally, when we get off the air at 9, I need at least 15 minutes just to
decompress.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a normal job, you have a lunch break. So when we finish at 9, then we can take our lunch break.
Then I'm starving.
Yeah, whether that's 9:30. Now it's already 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then I'm prepping for the next day's show. All those fancy graphics you see on my weather map, I'm being silly here, that takes hours to make. I sit and make those graphics, whether it's a dog, a vacuum cleaner. I prep the next day's show, and that takes a good hour to 2 hours. And then I still have to go out and shoot Wham Cam, which sometimes is an hour or 2 hours. And then edit it. I edit it. That's another hour or 2 hours. Same thing with you. So we're doing a lot here.
It's a lot. And you know, we do this 4.5 hours, and it's going great and everything. But I will say, like, to other people, imagine you go to work for a 9-to-5 job, and the first break you get, the first chance you have to eat or anything like that, is at 3 o'clock. In the afternoon.
Right.
You've had to work straight through till 3 o'clock.
Very good point.
Yeah.
And then that's when you can have lunch or something like
that.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
It's definitely a challenge.
But we're up to it.
Okay.
Now I have seen,
are
I have
we?
Seen you on Amazon doing a lot of shopping at work. Where do you find that time?
Where do you find that time? Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, just looking for different things. Yeah. Just browsing.
It's your turn. That was a good question, Rick. From
that
North
was a
Carolina.
Great question.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice to know the viewers are cognizant of the fact
aware
that these
of that.
Yeah. Hours are hard, and you know, yeah.
My grandfather was a miner in Lackawanna County.
Okay, you're right.
Perspective.
You're right.
I have perspective.
We're not digging ditches or
do work
mining coal.
We're not complaining.
I'm not complaining. Chris Smith wants to know: Do you ever go out in public and not get recognized? Not get recognized. What does that mean? He assumes we get recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
who wants to answer that question, John?
It depends. It depends where you're at, and someone like John sticks out like a sore thumb. So when I go out, almost always recognized, but I don't do much, to be honest with you. You know, most of us, you go to work, you come home. When I'm at the grocery store or concerts, everyone recognizes me, and I love it. It doesn't bother me at all. Most people are pleasant. They say hi, and that's it.
Yep.
They go on their way. But I notice a lot of young people don't recognize us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
John, you're saying yes?
Well,
you're
a lot of young people recognize him, too.
It's hard to answer this question without making it sound like, oh, I get recognized.
I know. You
public.
Sound like a jerk.
But me, I'm 6'6". I stand out anywhere, anywhere I go. I stand out in a crowd. I think what happens is people see the tall guy and just naturally look at him. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I know him. So really, I probably don't go anywhere without being recognized. Grocery store, restaurants, places like that, which is great because it means people are watching the news. I will say it actually does surprise me how many younger people will say something.
Oh, they will recognize.
They will.
Them. Maybe they do and they don't say anything.
I had a group of, I think they were probably like freshmen, sophomore in college at Montage the other day, get so excited seeing
oh, I
me.
Love
like,
it.
And they said, tell Joe, we said, wham.
Oh, I love stuff. It.
But anyways, it's part of the job. And I think being taller, it just adds to the recognition factor. And I think we've all had situations where we've been recognized really far from home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On trips and things like that. Yep. And it's kind of surprising when you're on vacation.
So last week, did I tell you my Florida story?
No.
I was in Cape Coral, and there's a trail about 10 miles outside of Cape Coral. And I was getting my bike out of my SUV, you know, putting my helmet on. And here comes a guy on a recumbent bike, the ones where you sit back.
Mm-hmm.
And had to be in his 60s, and he breezes by me, and he goes, hey, Joe. And he just kept going. I go, hey. And he immediately stopped.
Oh, my God.
And turned it around and came running up to me. Oh, my God, it really is you. I was just kidding. He was, like, testing this dude he thought was me by just saying, hey, Joe.
Right.
And he could not believe it was me. Really he was looking me up and down going, I had no idea that was really you. I was just having some fun with some guy that I thought looked like you. And he was touching me. Is it really you? Like,
that's
to
funny.
See
oh
me
gosh.
In Florida out of his element and my element, he could not believe it.
That's so funny.
That's funny.
Oh,
now,
my gosh.
Ladies, do you think you can disguise yourself a little more?
I am able to sometimes.
I am
if
able
I wear
to.
My glasses, a hat, no makeup, and you know, maybe
like Michael
like
Jackson
and ratty
Spider-Man
clothes.
Outfit.
Yeah, sometimes I'm able to disguise myself. But it does amaze me when I'm in like total incognito mode and somebody will be like, hi, Mindy. I'm like, oh, I thought I was incognito. And they're like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I just thought nobody would recognize me now. So.
It's funny being recognized when I have no makeup on.
Right.
And I'm wearing sweatpants. And
yeah, you guys don't understand because you don't have to, like, do your makeup and hair the way we do, you know?
You have the choice to look ugly like we do all the time. I told you, it's your choice.
Okay.
And
but
this,
it
again,
is, hard.
Is not us complaining. We don't want to sound like we're a big deal or anything getting recognized. What it really is the beauty of WNEP, and we have so many viewers.
Yeah, that's so true.
So when people say stuff to us, and a lot of times they have the nicest things to say about how much they love the morning show and how part of our lives that we are. So we appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is so nice to hear from people. They give us good stories like, oh, I watch you every morning. It's really nice.
I love being recognized. It validates me. I have low self-esteem.
There you go.
That's the truth.
It's perfect.
I love it. Please keep recognizing me.
Keep it covered.
Wait, they recognize Dutch now?
That was your question. No.
No.
That was
yours.
Yeah, that was yours.
Mine. right?
No.
No, that was mine. Isn't that funny? I didn't realize I said that. He's off. She wants another Tweety Bird question.
Donald says, Joe for Wham. If the earth rotates in one direction,
okay,
why does the water in toilets run one direction? I feel like we've had this one.
That's a myth. So toilet rotation has nothing to do with the Coriolis effect, which is caused by earth rotation. No effect at all. So that's a myth.
It says if there is a spot like halfway that the water runs straight down.
No. So you flush a toilet on the equator, you flush a toilet at the North Pole, you flush a toilet anywhere, it's going to have spin as it flushes. It's the plumbing. It's not from Earth's rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But hurricanes and low-pressure systems and other large-scale systems do rotate differently based on what hemisphere you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's the Coriolis effect. It's
interesting.
Since we kind of had that before? Or
I do feel
Do you want
like
another question?
No,
or?
It's okay.
Did you ever notice? Could you guys imagine what your toilet does when you flush it?
Like
is it clockwise
direction?
Or counterclockwise?
I've never thought about
Pay
it.
Pay attention
well,
to it. It's interesting because they all do differently. And it's random. It's based on the plumbing and the shape of the toilet.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if we're going to have time for this one, Chad.
Yeah!
Joe, in one of your forecasts, you mentioned all the elements came from fusion. I'd like you to explain how fusion happens past iron.
He's messing with us. He doesn't care.
No.
Okay.
All the elements on the periodic table came from stars, which in their core squeeze elements and produce energy through a process known as fusion. But it only happens up till iron. He knew that.
Hmm.
Oh, so that's why he wants it past iron.
Beyond iron, it doesn't happen. And that is why stars try to compress the iron core and they rebound, and that's what causes supernova, which is the explosion of the star.
Huh.
Which then recirculates interstellar matter.
I'm glad somebody knows this.
I think he's messing with this because he knew that.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Mindy, isn't it wonderful to know that all the elements in your body were forged inside of a core of a star. That
I
is
know.
Not a myth. That
That's
is a
amazing,
fact.
Isn't it?
Yeah, you are star stuff, baby.
I'm starstruck.
Star stuff.
No, you're star stuff.
Oh, okay. oh, my God. This is a good question, too. This is from Chris in 44 as well. What do you do to stay awake during the 4.5 hours you're on the air? Well, Chris, John and I drink coffee.
Do you have that struggle, honestly?
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you?
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't, right?
We're so tired.
No. I was going to say, because we're all jacked up doing this. You don't feel tired, do you?
Yeah, but you know what? We sit down more while we're on the air. You're standing up always on the air. So that helps, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do think that might be part of it.
Yeah.
Just us sitting
so
at
just
that
sitting
desk
there
for hours.
More repetitive?
Yeah.
Mindy and I have a thing now.
Yes.
Where at 6:20 is when we get a little bit of a break, that we can run to the bathroom and everything like that.
We have
and
like 4 minutes or something.
6:20 coffee.
Yeah.
That it's a reward for getting to a certain
Aww.
Point.
Yes.
And it's what's necessary to make carry us through
the rest
through
of the hours.
Show for the next 2.5 hours.
Yep.
So it's 6:20 coffee. But I will say some days Mindy's like, I got to do a 5:20 coffee.
Yes.
And an hour earlier she's doing
Every coffee. Once in a while I'm like, you know what? There's no reason to wait. I just got to have it now.
Maybe you should bring your stupid puzzles in. That'll keep you awake.
That would. Yeah.
We just talked about it this morning actually that we drink coffee and it's a must, we think, for this morning shift. But then we were talking about how surprised we are the others that don't. Joe doesn't.
I never had coffee in
but
my life.
But what do you have? You do have some soda on the way in?
I have a Coke Zero. But I don't even need that. It's more habit.
Yeah.
I don't get anything from it. I don't feel high or
and
low or
Nikki,
anything.
Nikki, you don't drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Anything in the morning? Any caffeine?
I drink a Spark energy drink.
Oh, so you're sparked up.
Yeah. But
right
I think
when
I
you
need
start?
Yeah. I what? Think I need to drink coffee though. It's probably healthier.
I don't know.
I feel like I have to have a coffee as soon as I get into work, and then that
6:20
coffee.
Yeah. I try not to drink anymore.
The only thing I need is you guys in your life.
Aww. We inspire him to be awake. That is so nice. I love it. I just did that one. Do we have time for another one?
I think we do, baby. Come on. Keep them going and keep the questions coming.
We only have like 2 minutes, two and a half minutes.
This could be the big ender, baby. Are you ready? If you ever left the area, what would you miss the most? That's Chris again. I think Chris is becoming the new Travis.
Yeah, he's flooding
the system.
All
right, so you leave this area, what do you miss the most? I can experience this all the time when I go to visit my mother-in-law in Florida. I miss the topography, the seasons, the people, the restaurants,
the
my
pierogies.
Friends, my family, the vibe. So much about this area I love, and I'm not just saying that. I love it.
I would list about the same stuff.
Yeah.
I go to Florida in the wintertime, and I love the getting away and the warmth and stuff like that, but I miss the mountains, the vibe here.
Florida's so flat.
So flat.
Florida's
so
many, one strip mall after another.
Right, right.
As is many parts of the country. The Carolinas, Midwest, Iowa. It's just flat zombie land.
Yep, here, everywhere you are, you always have a mountain somewhere that you can see and stuff. And
the
I love that.
The mountains, the people, the food.
Yeah. There was one summer where my daughters and I went and looked for a bunch of waterfalls. And I said, you guys don't realize, growing up in Iowa, we didn't have this many waterfalls.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. You just wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, you just don't. Yeah, so pretty amazing.
I'm going to come full circle right now and amaze you guys, and I may vomit in my mouth as I say this. Another thing I'd miss if I moved away from here.
Do you know what he's going to do?
He's going to say the W word.
Do it, Joe. Do it. Do it.
Winter.
He did it. We're
job.
So proud of you.
He's really come a long ways,
we
especially
started this
week.
Podcast, and he was so cranky about how cold it's been, and here we are.
I hate it, but I'd miss it.
25 minutes later, and he says he would miss it.
I hate it, but I'd miss it. That's the sad part. I need psychiatric help.
I feel the same way. I would miss the change of seasons.
Oh, yeah.
I would
yeah.
not want it just to be nice all the time.
Yes. Yeah. It's nice. Like if you're happy all the time or your life is perfect all the time. You need something to mix it up, baby.
Think how excited we are going to be when the nice weather gets here this year.
I know. We might even dance.
Oh, boy.
I may even miss you guys.
Wow. That's amazing.
Get your questions in. brownbag@wnep.com. We'll do it next week, baby.
Is that fake for TV purposes?
Yes.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.